He says here, he begins to upbraid them for wanting to be called master and rabbi, wanting to be seen in the marketplaces of men as leaders. He starts out by saying the hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees. He goes on down again. He says hypocrite, and then he says hypocrite. And he goes on down again. He says again to them, hypocrite. And then he goes on down again and he says to them again, hypocrite. And he goes on down again and he says, hypocrite. And then he goes on down again and he continually calls these people hypocrites. How do you know what a hypocrite is? Let me see your hand if you know what a hypocrite is. Now, do you know what a hypocrite is because you are a hypocrite? Or do you know what a hypocrite is because you have watched somebody, your neighbor? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand on that. See, someone would say, well, what is a hypocrite, Brother Pike? A hypocrite is somebody that pretends to be something they are not. Show business years ago, they used to paint their faces and do all kinds of things to their appearance. And they were referred to as hypocrites because they made believe that they were something that they were not. See, and a hypocrite is someone that makes believe that they are something that they are not. If I say I'm a child of God and then I am not a child of God, then I am a hypocrite. If I come to church and I pay tithe, Jesus said they go far enough to be religious. They come to church, they pay their tithes, they give their offerings, they do all of this. And when he got through telling that, he said, hypocrite. Even though they pay their tithes, and even though they gave their offerings, and even though they come to church and listen at the preacher preach, he said, hypocrite. See, going to church does not mean that you are not a hypocrite. Coming together with the congregation and paying your tithe, that doesn't mean that you're not a hypocrite. Having a position in the church or among the brethren, that doesn't mean that you're not a hypocrite. See, you can do all of those things and be a hypocrite. These scribes were ones that wrote the law. They actually penned through penmanship the law of God, the law of Moses. And Jesus said, you're still hypocrites. They give their time to God to pen what Moses had said. And Jesus said, you're hypocrites. These rabbis were leaders like ministers of today. And they gave their time to lead the flock, as we would say in that day. When Jesus came along, he said, you are hypocrite. Think about that now. When he got to the writers of the law, he said, you're a hypocrite. When he got to the preachers of that day, he said, you're a hypocrite. When he got to the Pharisees and scribes and the followers of that day, he said, you're a hypocrite. Why, they didn't leave. Nobody did it. When he got through, there was only one left, and that was Jesus. He was the only one that wasn't a hypocrite. All of them was hypocrites. And finally, he just got so disgusted till he said, all of you have gone astray. Every one of you have turned to your own way. And God's had to lay on me the iniquity of every last one of you. Ain't none of you good, he said. So he called them hypocrites. Pharisees, scribes, people that had come down from that day, from Moses, all the way down. They had come down all the way through the years. Great, mighty men. People that had been ordained of the Sanhedrin and different parts of the operation of Moses. Those great, wonderful laws. He said, you're hypocrites. Even Paul the apostle that had come out of the Sanhedrin. Paul, supposed to be a Pharisee of Pharisees that really believed in the resurrection. And Paul, the great, mighty apostle. Paul was nothing but a hypocrite. And a persecutor of the church, killing the saints of God. All of them hypocrites, blind. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And like the Bible said, if God had not left us a root, where is Jesus, the root, the offspring of David? If he had not left us a root, we'd be likened to Sodom and Gomorrah. See, all of them was hypocrites. All of the church was hypocrites. God only left us one root. One root. And Jesus backed off on the mountain and stretched out his hands and said, Jerusalem, Oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee? You know, if you hadn't have been a hypocrite, if your leaders hadn't have been a bunch of hypocrites, how oft would I have gathered thee under my wing as a hen with her brood? But ye would not. You know you're in hypocrisy. You'd rather do your own thing, like I preached this morning. See, wandering, they wandered away. They don't hold their steadfastness in God even until today. The church world doesn't hold its steadfastness in God, not even until today. They wander away. They go their own way and they do their own thing. See, and they don't listen to the word of God. They don't conform to the word of God. Jesus said, hypocrites. You profess to have God. You profess to have Christianity. You profess to do the things of God, but all you do is come into your assemblies to live in hypocrisy. You are hypocrites, Jesus said. And so then the church world of today, what can Brother Pike say as a minister today? The church world is hypocrites today. The preachers are hypocrites. Like I mentioned this morning, Brother Rowe talking about that Assembly of God preacher coming over there to visit with him in shorts. What was that preacher? Hypocrite. Jesus said hypocrites. See, they're hypocrites. They're more interested in money, and they're more interested in business, and they're more interested in their fame and popularity and prestige and the things that they want to do in life. They're more interested in that than they are in the things of God and the Word of God. So they're hypocrites. See, they won't do what God tells them. They do what they want to do. And instead of trying to make their lives conform to the way of God, that they may dress according to godliness and talk according to holiness and walk according to righteousness, instead of do that, they take God and they take God's word and they try to make the assembly of God and they try to make the way of God conform to their way. And they try to incorporate everything that God has said into their lifestyle to make God conform to their way of doing. Hypocrites, Jesus said. Outwardly, they appear beautifully. You know, like the Bible says of the last church, they'll say we're rich and have need of nothing and know not that they're wretched and naked and blind. Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. And so then in the last days, he said, they would be hypocrites. All of my tables, he said, are filled with vomit. So then he said, hypocrites, you say that you live and you say that you have a name. He said, and yet you're dead. Some of you, he said, twice dead and plucked up by the root. Hypocrites. Church world, hypocrite. All over the world today, you look, the church world is a hypocrite. So then you say, Brother Pike, who then can be saved, as they said to Jesus? If they're all hypocrites, who's going to be saved? The only one that was saved was Jesus. He was the only one. Out of all of them, they had gone their way. None good, no, not one. God only found one, Jesus. And he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon his back. By whose stripes we're healed. For we all, like sheep, had gone astray. Every man had turned to his own way. So then the whole church world is hypocrites. Now, out in the midst of that, somewhere God has reserved to himself a people. Over in Germany, he has reserved a people. In this great United States, he has reserved a people. In India, he has reserved a people. All across the world, he has reserved a people. But in this, there's hundreds and millions of people that are hypocrites. Church people that are hypocrites. And the only ones that have escaped the hypocrisy of this day are they that call upon the name of Jesus. And they that are trying to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They that are looking unto the Lord Jesus for righteousness and not trusting in the merits of their own doings. He said, you scribes, you do write the law. He said, but you're still hypocrites. He said, you people, you Pharisees, you pay tithes. He said, but you're still hypocrites. See, the church world does all of those things, but they're still hypocrites. Why are they hypocrites? He said, what about love? What about charity? What about the godliness, the long-suffering, the patience, the gentleness, the meekness? What about all of these brotherly things that I said should be in the church? Where is the concern of one to another? And where is the love of God for one another? Where is charity in the church today that thinketh no evil, that seeketh not its own, that esteemeth others to be better than itself? Where are these characteristics in the people? You can't find them. They're hypocrites. Jesus said they are hypocrites. But in Christ, these things exist. And those that are born of his bone, and those that are flesh of his flesh, and those that God has called out from the world, saying, come out from among them and be a separate people, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. These that God has put his approval upon, he called them a little flock. And he said, fear not, little flock. And he said, and few, these few that I've called out, few that be that find this. Though we say, a lot of people, Brother Pike, plenty of people, going to have a great revival, and God is going to sweep down out of heaven, and millions of people are going to go up with him. Yet the Bible still says, little flock. And few there be that find it. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that God is such an ignoramus that God would look down at the great multitude of people today that he's made and just push them all away and pick up just a few people. I believe that he would do that, and I don't believe as he's an ignoramus. I believe he knows exactly what he's doing. And I believe that if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if he did that in the days of Noah with hundreds and perhaps thousands of people, and God pushed them away and reached down and picked up a little family and put them in the ark and shut the door, that if Jesus Christ is the same today, he'll do the very same thing. He'll do it here at Bethlehem. If there's only one that's right, or two that's right, or three that's right at Bethlehem, he'll reach down and pick up those three just as sure as you breathe your breath, and he'll shut the others out into the outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He will do it. If he doesn't do it, he wouldn't be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he will do it. So then he said, Pharisees, scribes, religious people, hypocrites, he said, having a name in the last day that you live, and yet you're dead. So, what are we trying to do? We're trying to follow Jesus. We're trying to learn about Jesus. But we're not trying to follow Brother Pike and Brother Taylor. You don't want to follow Brother Taylor and follow Brother Pike. You want to follow Jesus. See, Brother Pike is a man. Brother Taylor is a man. Brother Gary is a man. Brother Jerry is a man. Brother Vince is a man. These are men. We're not following after them. We're following after Christ. We're not looking to them. We're looking to God that shuts out everybody, giving him the preeminence. Let's give God a hand. I said that shuts out everybody, giving him the preeminence. Hallelujah. So then you don't have to worry about anybody but Jesus. But there's one thing you do have to do. If I follow Jesus, I'm sent to be your shepherd. Then he said, follow me as I follow Christ. You have to do that. So then we watch for your soul as a minister. We're trying our best to lead you and to help you. Why? Because we love you. We love you. Like Billy said, this has conquered me. It wasn't Brother Pike that conquered him. It was Jesus that conquered him. I'm not able to conquer anybody. But see, this thing conquered Billy. Why? Because he met Christ. And when he met Christ, Christ always is the mighty conqueror. So then, when I met Jesus, he conquered me. When you meet Jesus, he'll conquer you. Like I said, you might not have been conquered yet. You might be busy doing the things of the world, and you might be busy going the way of the world. But when you meet Jesus, he'll conquer you. He'll conquer you. Someone will say, well, I don't know. I know a lot of people, Brother Pike. They're not Christians. They're still doing their thing after all of these years. I know, but one day he'll conquer them. One day you'll walk by, if you live long enough, and you'll say, you know, that's the man that used to say God couldn't conquer him, but I noticed he's conquered. He's all asleep. He don't move anymore. He doesn't do anything anymore. God conquered him. Or you'll meet him and he'll say, glory to God, I ain't what I used to be. God conquered me. I met Jesus. You'll meet him one way or another. The valley will overflow with the blood because he's the mighty conqueror. And everyone will taste the wrath of God as he conquers. So then as we move along with this, we're trying to be like Jesus. We're trying to come into the things of Jesus. We're trying to follow Christ every step of the way. We're trying to follow God. We want to be like Jesus. We want to do what Jesus tells us to do. We want to start thinking like Jesus. Let our thoughts be like Jesus. The Bible said to the extent that every thought will be like the Lord Jesus. We want our thoughts to be like Jesus. We want our vision to be like Jesus. We want our desire to be like Jesus. We want our daily deeds to be like Jesus. He went about doing good. Doing good. Someone would say, what do I have to do, Brother Pike, to be like Jesus? Go about doing good. Go about doing good. That's all you have to do, is go about doing good. Every morning when you wake up, you begin to think, praise God, I'm alive, I'm alive. Hallelujah, I'm alive. I can live, I can breathe, I can do something for God, I'm alive. You know, we're not only alive for today and tomorrow, but we are alive forevermore. Alive forevermore. So then you say, hallelujah, I'm alive. And you become alive in God. In that day you say, I'm going to do something good today. I'm going to find somebody and I'm going to do something good for them. And sure enough, you find somebody, and instead of being all frowned up, you know, all cast down and all bitter and grumbling, mumbling, you know, and always testifying about the giants getting God upset with you, you just go out there and say, hey folks, I believe what Christ said. Glory to God, I believe what the Lord said about it, and everything's going to work out all right. Amen, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. See, when your attitude is right, like I told Billy, I said, Billy, you're getting your attitude right. I said, there ain't no way in the world that can hold you. The Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. And he said he'd give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in him. I said, ain't nobody can hold you. I said, the warden, whoever it might be, God prepares their heart. And he does whatever he wants to when he gets ready. And he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And he looks down from heaven and he rules in the affairs of mankind. So I said, you know, that settles it. That takes care of it. So then we say, what is the problem, Brother Pike? The problem is this. Our attitude is not right with God. Our attitude is not right before God. When we have problems, it's because our attitude is not right with God. We can blame whoever we want to blame for it, but our attitude is not right with God. You know, the one thing that thrilled God concerning Abraham, he called Abraham his friend because Abraham was such a great believer. And the Bible said that Abraham believed God, even to the extent that he entrusted the life of his little son to God. See, he believed God, and the Bible said he was called the friend of God. So the thing that pleased God with Abraham, the one thing that pleased God with Abraham was he had faith. He had faith. The Bible said before Enoch's translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then Paul said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So then the thing that pleased God about Abraham was that Abraham trusted God. He believed in God. He was willing to believe God's word no matter what. And the Bible said, being strong in faith. He was strong in faith. Have you ever asked yourself whether or not you're strong in faith? Or whether you're weak in faith? Have you ever just counseled with yourself to sit down? The Bible said, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and all these things. Have you ever just sat down and say, look, what kind of person am I? See, am I strong in faith? Am I strong in faith? The Bible said Abraham was strong in his believing. He was strong in faith. He wasn't the kind of person that said, hey, I belong to Bethlehem. And somebody says, but I've heard about them people out there at Bethlehem. Said, well, that is, I go out there sometimes. I go out there sometimes. Abraham wasn't like that. You know, if it had been a Bethlehemite, he'd say, I believe in Bethlehem. They'd have said, well, I don't know about that. He said, well, I don't care about that. I still belong to Bethlehem. Glory to God, I don't care what you think about me. See, he was strong in his conviction. He was strong in his conviction. See, we should be to where daddy doesn't move us, mother doesn't move us. That is, father and mother has no power over us to move us from our conviction in Christ. Brother and sister have no power to move us from our conviction in Christ. See, we should be strong in God, filled with the ego of God, wanting to do something for God. Our attitude right toward Christ. See, when your attitude is right, everything works out good. When your attitude is right, everything goes well with you. God heals you. See, your attitude must be right. You must be strong in faith. And the Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith, giving God glory, always glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving God glory because he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. See, this is when our attitude is not right, when we're not like that. See, we should feel like what God has said, he's well able to perform. Somebody will say, well, now what do you mean by that? I'll say, well, brethren, I mean that God has promised us all things that pertain unto life. Is he not able to give us all of those things? Now he said, well, what do you mean all things that pertain unto life? I enumerate these things every once in a while. Happiness and health, the blessings of God, the financial blessings that we need, the physical blessings that we need, making our enemies to be at peace with us, taking care of us on the highways, watching over us during storms, taking care of us during the time of oppression and when fears and frustrations attacked our loved ones and whatever. We believe in God. We trust in God. Why do we trust in God? Because he promised. He promised. And then being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he's able also to perform. He didn't just promise and can't do it. He can do it. I promised my wife, I say, Betty, I'll take you to town tomorrow. I can do it. I can do it. And if I die, something happens to me, I can do it. And the Bible said, if it be the word of a man, we would believe it. How much more would we believe it if Jesus said it? God doesn't alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. God doesn't change the thing that's gone out of his mouth. The Bible said his word is settled in heaven. Forever settled in heaven. It's never altered nor changed. It's the same to a thousand generations. Why shouldn't we believe God? Why should we doubt God? See, God said it. I believe it. Yea and amen. All of his promises are yea and amen. Not yea and maybe it won't work for this man or maybe it won't work for this woman. But it's yea and amen. I said it. It's yea and amen. I said I'd do it. That settles it. So that's the way we trust in God with a sure thing. At believing that we have salvation, that we're going to be yonder with God in that beautiful city as we speak of, that we're going to have our health. Now listen just for a moment. See, here's a problem. Somebody would say, well, no problem, Brother Pike, I believe just what you said. We say that. The Bible said, and we say that with our lips, but the heart is far from it. That is, with the heart we believe. With the heart, faith comes forth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Doing the things that please God. This is where the church world misses it. See, the church world must do the things that please God. You can't be charismatic. You can't go with the way of the world and do the things of the world and then have faith in God. There's no possible way that you can do that. You can be a believer, but you can't have faith in God. See, there's no way that you can do that. You can't be charismatic and do that. You've got to do the things that please God. You've got to live holy and godly and pure and righteous. And someone would say, well, if I live holy and godly and pure and righteous, Brother Pike, then I'm going to make it into the kingdom of God. I don't have to worry because I'm living right. It don't have to do with you living right at all. In a Pentecostal conviction of you living right, it doesn't have nothing to do with that. See, we're saved by the blood of Jesus. We're saved by the righteousness of Jesus. We're saved by the goodness of Jesus. There's not any good. There's not any good. And this is why the Pentecostal world is in such a ball game mess and frolic mess of the world. It's because they've trusted in their righteousness and now the foundation has slipped out among them and they find themselves without any strength to resist the frolic of the world and they've interwoven themselves with the people of the world. And all of them are just alike. Like I said here a few days ago, the blind guide strained a net and swallowed a camel. The women will wear their hair clear down to their waistline and cut their dresses off above their knees. Blind guides that strained a net and swallowed a camel. So then the church world, trusting in their own righteousness, had become a bunch of reprobates. Jesus said, hypocrites. See, but we're trusting in the righteousness of God. That's why their faith doesn't work. It's because they're trusting in their own ability. Then we have the other kind over here, the charismatics. That says, well, there's nothing to do. Jesus done it all. And all we got to do is say hallelujah and praise God and go and enjoy the good things of the world. Still, Jesus said, these are hypocrites. These pretend to be something that they are not. Whereas the Pentecostal world pretends to be righteous when they're not righteous because they're not trusting in the righteousness of God. And these have gone one way. And then the charismatic world has gone another way, as to thinking all you've got to do is praise God and trust in God and all that God has done, He's given to us. That's still to the extremes. The Bible said we must do the things that please God. And hereby we persuade and convince our heart that when we do the things that please God, then do we have confidence with God that He hears us. And we know that if God hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of God. So then we can't go the way of the world. We can't do that. I'm not doing these things to be righteous. I'm doing these things because I love God and because of what God has done for me. I'm not doing these things to prove to my wife that I'm a good, straight fella. Before I ever became a Christian, I wanted to be straight with my wife and not have dirty, filthy things in my mind and go out to the world in the lewdness of the things of the world. I still wanted to be straight with my wife. So I'm not living for God to try to prove to somebody I'm righteous. I'm living for God because my nature on the inside, it delights to do the will of God. There's things that inside of me, it just bubbles up to do the will of God. And I'm trying to do the things that God would have me to do. That way my heart has confidence. And I take on confidence that everything's going to be all right. That's faith in God. And God rewards me accordingly. So, as I've said, so say I again. Abraham believed God. See, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Now, we say, yes, we believe that. But from our heart, see, this is where we get into trouble. With your mouth, with your lips, you serve me. You confess me, but with your heart, you're far from me. There's no real faith. You've got a believing yes, but no real faith in the Word of God. So then I say, sure, Lord, I'm sick, Lord. But I believe you said, by your stripes I'm healed. I believe, oh God. I believe, oh God. So I believe that what you promise you're able to perform. But see, I really don't get healed. And I really don't believe it. Because if I did believe it, I would get healed. Somebody would say, oh no, Brother Pike. I believed all of these years and I've never got healed yet. You've never believed. You never believed. Somebody says, oh, but Brother Pike, I know that I believe. Well, I'm telling you, you haven't believed. God is not a liar. God is not slack concerning His promises. God said, I will hasten to perform my word. If you'd have believed, God would have come and healed you. Now, I know that a lot of times there's a little perseverance required on our part because our faith isn't just like it ought to be. I know that. See, like it was in the days of Daniel. The angel said, Daniel, I heard you the first day that you prayed. I was coming down here to do something about it, but we run into the devil. See, we run into these fallen angels. We run into this army. And we had to fight our way through. And Daniel, because you held on. See, because you said the word of God's right. You got your reward. But Daniel, he wasn't way over here late that you got it. You got it the first day you asked for it. The Bible said it shall come to pass that I will answer before you ever call. You had this from the beginning, Daniel. But you had to wrestle it out of the hands of the devil. You had to wrestle it out of the hands of the devil. You had to stay in there with perseverance and do what God had commanded you to do, Daniel. And because you stayed there, O thou beloved man of God. Glory to God. Strong in faith, Abraham, you're the friend of God. Strong in faith. Why? Because Abraham said, God said it, and it's going to be just exactly the way God said. No alteration. Somebody says, well, how long have you been believing? Got nothing to do with it, Abraham said. When do you think it's going to come to pass? Ain't got nothing to do with it. God said it. That settles it. It's going to be like that. Whenever he gets ready, that's good enough for me. He said the time of life, and that's good enough for me. Whenever it is, God said it. And the Bible said he was strong in faith. You know, going around saying, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, saying to Sarah, saying, Sarah, I wonder what he's going to look like. Hallelujah. Oh, he's going to be such a fine little fellow, Sarah. Won't be long. Won't be long. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that's the attitude. That's the attitude. And sure enough, he came. There wasn't any way for him to come. Their bodies was dead. There was no means of reproduction. See, but nevertheless, Abraham didn't consider that. Abraham didn't consider his body being dead, and he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's wound. He just said, the Lord said it. Ain't it going to be wonderful? And sure enough, it wasn't long before little Isaac was running and playing. Wasn't long before it came. See, this is the way that God is. If God's word says something, we're not to wrestle with the word of God, and we're not to try to figure it out. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. If it's my healing, if it's my deliverance, whatever it pertains to in my life, God said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. I say, God, you promised through Jesus Christ to give me these things. You promised it to me. I don't have to remind him that he promised. He knows that he promised. God knows that he promised to me. I don't have to remind him of nothing. I just have to remind myself. I don't say, now see here, Jesus, you promised this to me. I say, see here, Brother Pike, God said that. And you need to stop your foolishness. And you need to stay away from your unbelief. And I get all clouded up in my mind. And I get away and I pray and I say, Brother Pike, let's get down to business. Don't be a fool. God said this. Wasn't some man that said this. You're wrestling with it here. It can't be God. It's got to be you. You know better than that. You know better than that, Brother Pike, than to charge something against God. Because God said that. God never changes his word. There is no alteration in the word of God. So then I reassure myself in God. I encourage myself in God. I clean up my faith in God. I move the smut off the globe. And I'm shining and radiant again. I'm saying, hallelujah, Jesus said it's going to be just like that. Hallelujah. So then Jesus said, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You don't really have faith, he said. You serve me with your lips, he said, but your heart is far from me. You don't really believe. This is just a ritualistic with you. This is just a formality with you. You don't really have faith down in your heart. Folks, let me tell you, you may come to church for the rest of your life. You may be a churchgoer. You may be very religious. You may be active in all the things of the church. But I'm telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus, unless you have an experience with God, and unless you have faith in your heart, unless you believe, unless you have his spirit, you're going to die, you're going to press your death pillar, and you're going into the lake of fire. You're going down into the chambers of hell. Because there is no way out of this thing except through Christ, except through the Savior. So then, faith in God, he was fully persuaded. Let's look at it for just a minute now. I want to try to get over a thought to you here. Fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. The first thing is you can't be double-minded. You can't be double-minded. You can't go about this thing in a double-minded way. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. See, faith is a sure thing. Faith doesn't rest upon anything Brother Pike has said, or any other man has said, or something that you think. It rests entirely upon the Word of God. The Word of God said it, you believe it, and that settles it. When the little woman came to Jesus and she said, come and heal my daughter. Jesus said, it's not meet that we should give the children's bread to the dogs. Gentiles was called dogs. But see, her faith didn't let up. She said, I know that. I know that. She didn't rise up and say, "Haughty, you're haughty, you know, you're ugly." Rise up and be haughty. Say, "You're ugly. You're a respected person. You look to those Jews and you do for them. And you let us poor Gentiles just go without. And you made us as well as you made." She didn't do that. But she humbled her heart. And she said, "I know that, Lord. I know that, Lord." She said, "I accept the fact that I'm a dog. I know that. Probably been told that many times by the Jews. I know that." She said, "But the dogs eat of the crumbs." And the Lord, something happened to him, and he said, "Great is thy faith, woman." See, that woman didn't give up her faith. She still believed God would do what she asked him to do. Though she was a dog in the sight. Even God speaking to her as a dog. Yet she said, "It's still all right. Though I be a dog, I still belong to you. You made me. And at least you give them the crumbs that fall off of the table." And Jesus said, "Oh, woman," said, "great is thy faith." The humility that he saw there, and the persistency to the extent, the importunity, as to what the way that she did, she wouldn't yield up her position. She said, "I still believe that you should do this for me." And God said, "You just have whatever you want. You just have whatever you want." See, this is the way God's word is. When the man came to Jesus about the servant, and he says, "My servant is grievously tormented," said he's vexed, said he's at home, said he needs healing. And Jesus said, "I'll tell you what, I'll come over and I'll heal him, or I'll come over to your place." "No," he said, "no." He said, "I'm not worthy for you to come to my house." See that same humility again. See, that's where we miss out with faith. We don't have the humility. When the Bible said to come boldly before the throne of grace, it didn't mean to come up there and say, "Hey, look, this belongs to me. I'm living right. God isn't going to deny me." But it meant to come boldly to the extent there was no yielding. There is no yielding like a lion. The Bible said, "Be bold as a lion." A lion, he just comes stalking his prey. He just comes. It doesn't matter what that prey is. It can be an elephant, be whatever. The lion is one step at a time, just like that. Moving right toward that prey. He doesn't relinquish. He doesn't change his mind. There is no wavering about it. He knows what he's going to do. He's got his mind in one direction and he knows what he's going to do. I brought it out the other night. Samson, when that lion attacked Samson, according to the Bible, the inspiration that come upon Samson, Samson stalked the lion. Because when the lion run out at him, there was no wavering. Samson took one look and he thought, "I'll tear you to pieces." And when little David grabbed his sling and went up on the hillside, he wasn't like his brethren. He wasn't wavering in mind and wondering about the size of that giant. He wasn't doing that. He just took a step at a time as he walked up there. And the giant bellowing out, talking about what he's going to do. And little David had in his mind one thing. "You just a lot of wind, that's all. Just a lot of wind. I'll get there after a while." And he took that little old sling and kept spinning it around his head, as we would say, and walked up that hill, and that man bellowing out, "I'll feed your carcass to the fowls of the air." David's thoughts was this: "Won't be nothing like that. Won't be no days like that. I'll get you. I'll get you." See, that's faith. Brethren, that's faith. See, when God gives you a word, God had told David to go out there. God had raised up David for that. See, God is the one that told you and I to do these things and to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not worry about how we're going to do it and where the money's going to come from. God said do it. God said to Peter. Peter said, if that's the Lord, he said, this has been Peter. He said, "If that's the Lord," said, "you tell me to come." He said, "Come on, Peter." And Peter jumped overboard. He didn't doubt. He didn't doubt. He didn't doubt. He just jumped overboard and began to walk right toward the Lord. And the testimony is today is that he walked on the water. Walked just exactly toward the Lord until he got his eyes off of Jesus. See, he got his mind off of God just for a few minutes. And the Bible said he looked around and the wind was blowing and the waves was boisterous. That quick the connection was lost. The magnetic pull was lost. And down Peter began to go. See, faith, it works on the spur of the moment. Unbelief works on the spur of the moment. You can be a master in faith right here within a few minutes. Within a few minutes, you can be going down, losing out. And yet you was a master in faith. Peter doing the thing equal to God himself. And yet all of a sudden, down he went. See, Abraham was fully persuaded. Them men went out there after Elijah. And when they got out there after Elijah, they said, the king said, oh, brother Elijah, in so many words, said, a new government. No, they said, down went 50. Here come another 50. And they said, the king said, Elijah said, a new government. No, down went another 50. And as they came out like that, the next time Elijah come out, and they said, oh, Elijah, oh, thou man of God, we accept your form of government. What if you say this? All right. Now, I know they didn't say it in those words. I know that. See, but the king was left in the shadows. The king was left in the shadows. When old brother Elijah come out and raised his hand, them people said, oh, Master Elijah, be merciful to us. Be merciful. Because old Elijah was straight ahead. Straight ahead. God said it, I believe it, down with your 50. God said it, I believe it. If I be a man of God, down with your 50. Moses said, if I be a man of God, let the earth open up and swallow them up. Faith in God, faith must not waver. Jesus said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Why? Because they didn't really believe. But folks, let me tell you, when you are fully persuaded, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, 32,000 promises, it has been said in this book right here, what God has promised, he's able also to perform. We say we believe that. I want to say this to you again. We say that we believe that. But why is it we're not healed? If we believe that, why? Why? Because we fail to believe that. That's why. It isn't God that's shortcoming in his promise. He hasn't altered the word. He hasn't changed the word. The same to 1,000 generations. It isn't God. You and I fail to believe that. See, we say we believe that he's able to perform it. 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 But do we really believe that? If we really believe that, he'd be performing something in our life. He'd be performing something in our life. Because if we really believe that, see, we've got to get this old mind of ours straightened out to where we say, now, wait a minute, do I really believe that he can do that? I know, you know, so we know he's God. We know he can do anything. But folks, when it comes right down to believing that God is present within you, God is on the inside of you, God is right here in this world with you, God, the supernatural, invisible God, is touching you, and that all of a sudden that you're being healed and you're being changed on the inside, and you're receiving this blessing from God of your heart's desire, you don't really believe that. See, able to perform it. Do you believe him into this world? Do you believe him into your life? Do you believe that right now he's doing that for you? Oh, somebody says, I know someday. It has nothing to do with someday. Right now. Right now. Do you believe he's doing that right now in your body? If you don't believe it now, you're not going to believe it any more tomorrow than you do today. See, do you believe that he's able? Do you believe that invisible force is able to make contact with your natural body, your natural brain, your natural substance? Do you believe that he's able to do what he promised to do? Do you believe that? If you do, that means you believe something's taking place right now. Not tomorrow, right now. When is the best time to believe? Right now. Right now. When did he say that it should happen? Right now, according to your believing. Right now. That's why you don't get healed, is according to your believing. So then when you believe that he's able to do that, that supernatural God, Jesus said to the lepers, do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe that God is able to do this? Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. All these promises in the Bible, do you believe that he's performing these in your life? That he's doing it every day, every minute, every hour, that he's doing it, that God's doing it. Oh, somebody says, I know someday. No, I'm talking about right now. Do you believe that right now God is performing these things in your life? That God is doing something to your body. He's able to do to your body what he promised he would do to it. Do you believe that? No, you don't. No, you don't. That's why you don't receive your healing. But to you that do believe, and you that will believe, and you that will accept God like that, that God is stable in His conviction toward you. He's stable in His promise toward you. He have ordained it in the hands of a mediator, and that of the angels also, has to witness. See, and that He cannot and will not change His word. So then, Abraham believed that what God said he was able to perform. And when you come to the place to where you believe that God is able to perform it, that is not believe that He's way off over yonder somewhere and able to perform it someday, but believe that He's able to perform it right now. He's given the promise. Right now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. There's no prolonging to say, well, it's just not my time. The only prolonging and procrastination is you yourself. Today, if you will hear and harden not your heart, today God's doing it. Today. All right, I want you to stand with me. God is doing these things today. What God has promised, He's able also to perform. As long as I'm going around saying, I believe that, Brother Pike. Or, I believe that, Brother Sister. That is going to get me anywhere. Not anywhere. I'll be in the same condition all my life as to the problems. But when I begin to give glory to God, that is proof of my conviction of heart and my full persuasion, not partially. When I begin to think, not going about and say, hallelujah, Sister Betty, it's going to be like that. Not that way. No, not that way. But when I'm walking around, nobody's there but me, or when I'm just alone by myself, and down inside of my heart, in my life, I'm rejoicing. I'm thinking, glory to God. Jesus, You're so sweet. You're so merciful. You did do it for me. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking like that in my heart. As a man thinking in his heart, so he is. See, and I'm thinking, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I was sick, but I'm healed because of what You've done. I'm fully persuaded. I thank You, Lord. It happened just like You said. It happened. Oh, somebody said, but what if you still got the pain, Brother Pike? That ain't got nothing to do with it. All of those things are lying vanity. Somebody said, well, He didn't really do it. Let's be honest about it now. All right, let's be honest about it. He did really do it. The Bible said He finished it at Calvary. By His stripes, I was healed. He took away my sins. Before the world ever was, I was made a son of God. That all of my wrongs and sins and sorrows and everything was taken away, to where the evil one toucheth me not. That's reality. So anything that comes before me is a lying vanity. It's a lying vanity. Even this world, as I explained to my wife today, this entire world is but vanity. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. And there is an anti-God over this world. But there is a true God, and there is a true world. And all these shadows, these things are going to pass away. It's just a dressing room for us. Just a training ground for us. So don't get carried away with it, because it's going to pass away. The heavens and the earth, as to the natural heavens, is going to pass away. The earth is going to vanish away. So, when you begin to rejoice in spirit, giving glory to God, the Bible said all of these things come upon you because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness of heart. For serving God is joy. God is the Word. And the Word said that you're to be whole. And when you begin to believe in the Word, then you are whole. So you're serving God with your mind by faith. And you got joy because you're healthy and happy. And all of your needs have been taken care of. Physically, spiritually, financially. Whatever it is, the oppressions of Lucifer are driven back. So, we sang this little song, everything is going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's going to be all right.
Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven has come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him at the noon. I want to love Him, when the sun's going down. Oh, let us praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. I want to praise Him. I want to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun's going down. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Do you really love the Lord? Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and He lives forever. You love the Lord. I said He's gone, for the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and He lives forevermore. Do you know that through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have overcome death? How many of you know that we've overcome death? Through the Lord Jesus, we've overcome death. We've overcome death. We've overcome the tempter. We've overcome poverty. We've overcome sickness. We've overcome the things of this world. See, through Christ, we've overcome it. The old stony heart is gone. For the Bible said, I'll take out the heart of stone, and I'll place within you the heart of flesh, and write upon the table of your heart my laws. So then we've escaped the bodily tomb. An angelic being at death went back to God who gave it. And they buried this body out in a watery grave. And you can look back now, and the stone, the old stony heart, which the Bible said, harden not your heart as they did in the days of the provocation of the wilderness, when they provoked God for 40 years and God destroyed them and sware in His wrath that they would not enter into His rest. When the Bible said, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people, seeing that these did not enter in. Let us fear, lest the promise be taken away from us of entering into this rest. But see, we've passed on from death unto life. And now we are they that dwell in heaven, that rejoice forevermore. Can you look back at the old heart of stone? Can you say it's rolled away? Can you say it's rolled away? The old heart of unbelief. Sing it with me now. So it's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. That tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, I'm gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. My sins is defeated, gone. And a little forevermore. Can you sing it with me now? You gotta believe it. Oh, it's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, I'm gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And I live. I want you to sing that with me again now. Remember, this old body's a tomb. Oh, it's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. That tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, I'm gone. Over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And I'm alive forever. I want to sing it one more time. They buried that body in a watery grave out there now. And you come up to the newness of life. And it's not you living but Him now. And you come out of the tomb. Isn't that right? They buried Jesus. He come out of the tomb. They buried you. At death, the Spirit goes back to God who gave you. All right, let's sing it again. Oh, it's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, oh, the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. And he lives. Can you sing it again? Oh, I'm gone. For the stone is rolled back, gone. And my tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm gone. Over death triumphant, gone. My sins are defeated, gone, and I live forevermore. The Bible says that if we overcome, He will give to us to eat of the hidden manna. And the Bible said, and they overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible said we can overcome and sit down in the throne, triumphant with our Father. Sit down in the trunk, in the throne. That is, we're sitting at His right hand. Let's sing it again now. Gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, I'm gone, oh, the death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated, gone. And a little, we're going to sing it again. Oh, it's gone. Stony heart, you'll roll back, gone. Bodily tomb, you're empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, I'm gone. Over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forever. How many of you are singing that with me? Are you singing that with me like that? Some of you, I don't believe, singing that like that with me. Let's sing it together now. Let's sing it together. Come on now, let's sing it together. Gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. to sit at my Father's side. Come on, folks. Oh, we're gone. All the death trials been gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forevermore. Glory to God, I am. I am. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, I am. I am. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I believe that someday, I tell you, it's not someday. This is the day. Glory to God, I'm alive forevermore. I'm not looking to die and be resurrected. I'm alive forevermore. I pass from death unto life. I dwell in heaven with God. I'm rejoicing forevermore. But I ain't thinking about dying or looking to die. God took me out of the old bodily tomb of death. And today I'm alive with Him. One more time, we're going to sing it. So it's gone. Stony heart, your old back gone. Bodily tomb, you're empty, gone. I'm sitting at my Father's side. Oh, I've gone. Oh, the death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive. Come on now. I said it's gone. And the stone is no more gone. And the tomb's empty, gone. I'm sitting at my Father's side. Come on, folks. Oh, it's gone. Oh, the death triumphant. Give Him a wave of it. Sin is defeated. Go to sing it one more time. I want you to be up there in heaven with me, folks. Believe it now. Oh, it's gone. And the stone is rolled back gone. And the tomb is empty gone. Sitting at my Father's side. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, I'm gone. Oh, the death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated gone. I'm alive forevermore. Don't you feel good and alive? If you feel good and alive, say amen. Could you sing it just one more time with me? If you feel good and alive, how many of you feel like you're sitting right there with the Father? How do you feel like you're with the Father? If you feel like you're with the Father, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said someday. No, I'm talking about now. Hallelujah. I'm talking about right now, sitting on the throne with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Hallelujah. He's on the throne of my heart, and I'm right there on the throne with Him. That inner man of mine, he's right there on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. God has saved me. God has healed me. God has protected me. God has forgiven me. The evil one can't touch me. I said the evil one can't touch me. Is that right? The evil one can't touch me. Hallelujah. Let's sing it one more time. So it's gone. The stone is no more gone. Oh, the tomb is empty, gone. I'm sitting at my Father's side. For I'm gone. Over death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forevermore. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. Gone, alive forevermore. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing this song. I'll be ready when my bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when that bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night. Gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Sing it with me now. I'll be ready.
comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're gonna be robed in spotless white. We'll be ready when the bride. Sing it again now. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Or be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Gonna be ready when the bride. Can you sing one more time? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning and noon or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Gonna be ready when the bride. Sing it again. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Gonna be ready when that bridegroom. Spotless white, gonna be ready. Can you sing it like this now? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. Are you ready? At morning, noon, or night, I'm always dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready. Can you sing that with me again? I believe he's coming soon. Oh, we're ready for the bride. Say amen if you are. Oh, we're ready for our bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all robed in spotless white, and we're ready for that bride. I want you to sing it with me again, just like that now. Oh, we're ready for our bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for our bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready. Gonna sing it one more time. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom. Come, yes, we are. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all robed in spotless white, and we're ready. Can you sing that again? If you really believe that, say amen. If you're really ready for Jesus to come back, let's give him another hand. If you're really ready for Jesus to come back now, and you're ready to destroy everything and go with it. I want to sing it one more time. Can you do that with me? Can you do that with me? Can you do that with me? All right, let's sing it one more time. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Or be it morning or night, we all dressed in spotless white. Gonna be ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Say amen. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, we're all robed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. Somebody say amen and praise the Lord. And let's give him a hand, folks. I want you to close your eyes with me. Lift
lift up your hands to heaven and let's sing this little chorus together. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Remember, you're not time creatures anymore now. And time's not at Bethlehem anymore. No more. And time's not here no more. For that angel did stand on the sea and the land, and time ain't here. Come on, folks. Do you believe what we're preaching? And time's not at Bethlehem anymore. No more. And time's not at Bethlehem anymore. We eternal creatures. For that angel, he'd stand on the sea and the land, and time is no more. Remember at Calvary now, he stood there. That was the angel on the land and the sea saying, it is finished. It is finished. And over here we begin to comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width now. And the mystery is being finished. All coming to close. Want to sing it again now. And time shall be with us no more. And time shall be with us no more. For that angel did stand on the sea and the land, and time for us is no more. Sing it again with me. And time for us is no more, no more. And time for us is no more. For the angel did stand on the sea and the land, and time for us is no more. Don't you feel free of time? If you're free of time, you're free of death, for there's a time to die. And if we don't have any more time elements involved in our life, that means we cannot die. We have passed from death unto life. The BC and the AD, the dividing of time. And the Bible said time, and the dividing of times. Saying time for us is no more. We're not time creatures. Because we sing the stone is rolled back. And we're with the Heavenly Father. And we're sitting on His throne. We've been translated into the kingdom of God. And we pass from death to life. And we cannot sin. And the evil one cannot touch us. Can you sing it just one more time? For time with us is no more. It's no more. And time with us is no more. For that angel did stand on the sea and the land, and time for us is no more. I want you to bow your heads with me, and I want you to lift your hands now. Truly, I know that this is so exhilarating, this is so great, this is so mighty. This is such a great, wonderful exhilaration of soul. Such an activation of the heart. God moving on us. Refurbishing with life. God, the great God of heaven. See, but it's true. It's true. You ain't going to die, folks. I said, you ain't going to die. Oh, my God. Ain't going to die. I said, you ain't going to die. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we've got to die. We've got to die. Everybody's got to die, Brother Pike. Not us. See, the Bible said we pass from death unto life. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed but the body of the Lord Jesus. That's when I died. Took them a long time to get around to bury me. But they had to wait for my generation. See? That's when I died. Consider yourself to be dead indeed to the world, and the world dead unto you by the body of the Lord Jesus. You're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've hid you with God in Christ whom the heavens ever see. I'm taking out the iniquity, the infiltration, and I put the kingdom of God within you, and you're alive forevermore. You can't sin. You keep yourself, and the evil one toucheth you not. Someone would say, but oh, Brother Pike, everybody has to die. Well, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that to die again, and to die again, and to die again. No, it doesn't say that at all, does it? It is appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. I was hanging there on the cross. I was bleeding. I was bruised. I was esteemed smitten of the Heavenly Father. Though the evil once did it, Jesus, God gave the permission. Smitten, bruised and bleeding. The back running with blood, and the feet running with blood, and the head running with blood, and the hands running with blood, and the side running with blood. I was hanging there on the cross like that. Why? Because he became me in death, that I might become him in life. And Paul said to consider myself dead by his body. It was his body that they bruised. And in doing it, my sins were taken away. It was appointed unto me once to die. I died. When I repented of my sins and acknowledged the things of Christ as to the crucifixion, I died. That was the end of me. I died. I'm not in the flesh anymore. They buried the flesh. It's not alive anymore. It's dead. Oh, somebody says, but I see you, Brother Pike. God doesn't see me. God never sees anything but his lovely son, his bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That man of sorrow, that man is gone forever. We have known Jesus after the flesh. From henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. Dead and gone. So then appointed unto man wants to die. And so it was, I died. And then the judgment. There came the judgment of God. Down into the belly and the chambers of hell I went. But the grave couldn't hold me. Because I was sinless. And hell had no power over me because I triumphed. Like the song that we wrote, he gently brushed the flames aside. See, I triumphed over hell. I triumphed over death. I triumphed over the grave. I came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And I am alive forevermore because he lives on. Somebody say praise God. Hallelujah. We are alive. We are alive. We are alive. We are alive. Can you say that? We are alive. Hallelujah. We're not dead. We are alive. God said you're alive to stones. We are alive forever. We are alive. Hallelujah. He that cannot sin cannot die. The evil one touching him not. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. You love the Lord? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me, for it makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough. Sing it with me now.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. Oh, it's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it's good. Sing it with me now. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Brother Kenny, sing it again. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Bow your heads again. Lift your hands. Remember, folks, we made it. We made it. Quit worrying about making it. Quit worrying about making it. Stop looking in the past. If you live in the past, then you have no future. Remember, we are already in the future. We're living in the future. We pass from death unto life. We are alive forevermore. We are God's children. We're not servants. The servant just stays till sundown and then he goes home. But we're not servants. We're staying right there in the house. We're the children. We're in the light of the city. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, you got to believe this. Got to believe this. While you've got your heads bowed, while you've got your hands lifted up, I'm going to ask Brother James Isaac, if he will, to come and pray. James Isaac, the promised son. That seems fitting. We are his son. We are his son. I want you to pray. We're getting ready to go into Thomasville now for a meeting. I'm going to be giving the brethren the word on it in just a little bit. So let's pray, let's seek God, let's try to do something for God, let's be filled up and overflowing. And folks, remember now, you're his people. You're his sons and daughters, and we don't want to go up there, you know, with this thing, as death to say, you know, we're up here, we sure hope we'll get something for God, from God, so we can pray through. You don't want to do that. You want to go up there with faith and humility, saying, glory to God, we're his. We're the Victorians, and we come up here to shake this place up for God and help these people to find the truth and invite them to come over into Canaan with us. Isn't that wonderful? While James is praying, I want you to think on these things and meditate on them. Give your heart wholly to them. Believe, because that's the way it is.